Excuse me for trying to follow the bulletin up here, but just want to make sure we're in the right place, and it looks like I'm up next here, right? Well, always appreciate the opportunity to open God's word and to share what God's put on my heart and mind this morning. And I always have to think that I need to hear it, first of all. Reminders from the word, and even though some things maybe are familiar and been over things many times, that still I need to hear them again. But I always like to think that for some reason, God has put something on my heart and mind because somebody needs to hear a word. And only God can do that, right? He can take the words that are said here today and place them where he needs to place them. And my hope and prayer is that you will hear a word from God. Not so much my word, but somehow that the Holy Spirit will speak to you through those things that I share with you today. So I want to read this morning from Luke 24. It's a familiar story about a walk on the road to Emmaus. And many of you know this story well. If you have your Bible and you want to follow with me, I'm going to read from verses 13 through 35 this morning. And I'm reading from the New King James, if it sounds a little bit different from the scripture that you have in front of you this morning. Now, you might remember, this is just after the resurrection, and the women who've been to the tomb come back, and they tell what they've seen. Jesus' body is gone. He's not in the tomb. It's not where they laid him, and they're not sure exactly what's going on. There's doubt and confusion, and then these two men are making a journey home from the all that's been happening in Jerusalem that day. It's the Passover, people all around, and these two men are alone thinking about what's happened this day. And so, behold, it says in verse 13, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since those things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb, and they found it just as the women said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart, to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass as he sat at the table with them that he took bread, blessed and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they knew him and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened up the scriptures to us? Let's just pray one more time. Lord, we thank you for your word. And Father, may our hearts burn within us as we listen, as we think about these scriptures, as we think about what we hear this morning. And Father, I know not everyone's going to hear every word today, but help each of us to hear the word that you would want us to take with us. Today may be different for many of us here this morning, but may we hear what you want to say to each of us as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When I came out of seminary, I became the pastor of a little church outside Boston, and it was really a struggling little church, and really got my feet wet quickly into what I didn't know at one point if I even wanted to go on with this. There were about 16 people there. I was single at the time. Best thing that happened to me is Sandy came to visit on a Sunday night, and I guess that best thing of those 2 years was that I met my wife. It was a struggle going through there, but I prayed that God would, I was going there single, I prayed that God would identify one man that I could work with and disciple there. I also prayed that there'd be one. They had no leadership, no deacons, no elders, no nothing. And it was really a strange group of people. That's all I can say. Strange and wonderful, I guess I should say. But I prayed, and God provided both of those, answered both of those prayers for me. But the man that I would disciple in my time there was named Joe. And Joe was a big man. He was about 400 pounds. But he had the sweetest heart and spirit. He was a fairly new believer, and he told me a story of how he really came to commit himself to Christ. He said, I was smoking, and he said, after I invited Christ into my life, I really struggled with this. I wanted to quit, and I thought I should quit, but I couldn't do it. And he said, I just got so disturbed and so disgusted. I got down on my knees one day, and he said, I pleaded and cried out to the Lord that he would help me with this problem. And he said, you know, the strangest thing happened. He said, as I prayed and as I cried out to the Lord, all of a sudden I felt like this burning in my head. And he said, that burning feeling went down through my body, down through my chest, down into my legs, went all the way down and seemed to go right out my feet and toes. And he said, you know what happened? He said, I never had a desire for a cigarette again. And he said, that was the day that I really committed my life to Christ. Well, I think of these men on the Emmaus Road. You know, the last verses we read. You know, did not our hearts burn with what we heard from the scriptures? And when they recognized who it was that shared with them, did not our hearts burn? I think that was the day that they committed their lives to Christ in a new way. The scriptures attribute to the heart many different things, different words as we study the languages. And it really speaks of the depth of who a person is. It talks about thoughts, reasonings, understanding, will, judgments, designs, affections, love, hatred, fear, joy, sorrow, and anger. A lot of the emotions we all feel as we go through our days. Sometimes so much so that it becomes a physical problem, some of these things. You know, we have high blood pressure and other things that are detrimental to us because of the things that we carry and can't release and don't know where to release sometimes. Most of us do that are here this morning, I believe. But we got caught up in that too, don't we? Things that affect us spiritually, things that affect our spiritual heart. What's going on inside us as we walk through life? You know, we sometimes talk about the heart of the earth, and we know that's speaking what's deep inside the earth. But I guess scientists and whoever are trying to figure all that out each and every day beyond what we could even understand. But somebody mentioned this week as I was reading, somebody wrote and said, you know, isn't it interesting that the word heart and earth are made up of the same letters? And I don't know how people think about all these things, but there's always some interesting facts that come out either online or reading. And so I thought, you know, as we think of what's deep down in the earth, the heart of the earth, I was thinking about those two words and saying, you know, the one who created the heavens and the earth knows all about what's deep inside the heart of the earth is the same one who wants to do a new creation in you and me so that we might understand his salvation that he offers and all that he has for us, that he wants to take place deep inside our heart, burn it into us, into our heart, that it might make a difference. A heart touched by the fire of the Holy Spirit is really one that burns within us, as it did for these men in this story that we read in the scriptures. And one that has met the living Christ and allowed him to affect the whole man. It's when we meet Jesus and invite him into our life and totally give ourselves to him that things change. Just like for Joe, who I mentioned earlier, or these men here in the scripture. When we meet Jesus and invite him in to our heart, let him forgive the sin that separates us from him, things are different. We used to sing a little chorus, things are different now. Something happened to me since I gave my heart to Jesus. I don't know if any of you know that, but I probably learned that as a little kid. And for me, it's really interesting. As I study the scriptures, you know, I think of your request this morning, you know, for our children. I learned all these kids' choruses, camp choruses, but they just pop up all the time. And simple messages, but messages that still come forth somehow. And how would I ever think, you know, what I was singing at 5, 6, 8 years old, you know, now in the 70s is still ministering to me. But simple things that remind us of all that God has done for us through Jesus when we take that step to follow him. So I guess I ask myself and ask you, has your heart been touched by the fire of God's Spirit? Now, as you come and sit here this morning, as you prepared to worship today, you know, was it just a fire burning that you couldn't wait to be here, to be in the presence of the Lord and in the people that you enjoy being with as part of the family here at Northfield, and enjoying that community and that relationship with him? Well, the burning heart is one that has been touched by fire, one that knows that Christ is alive, and more than just knowledge. In the head, it's really the experience of a knowledge in the heart, knowing that Jesus is there and firmly there in our lives. Well, how does one get or maintain that burning heart of fire? Well, I think there's three ways that I'm going to highlight in this passage. And it's what the Holy Spirit gave me as I read through this. First of all, I think it happens as we receive God's word. However that happens, you know, whether it's through the proclamation of God's word, through the personal study of God's word, through a conversation with someone who ministers God's word, through the teaching of your good pastor that you have here, Pastor Brian. He is a great student. I've known him for a long time. He's a better student than I am. Just pours himself into those scriptures, and you're the benefit of it. And I know many of you enjoy the Bible studies and the Sunday preaching. But to receive God's word and then to be refined by God's word, and then to go forth with that and to reveal God's word. And so as we think about this passage this morning on receiving God's word, these two men, as they walked, verse 27, it says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, Jesus expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So in order to receive, number one, we must be open to the word of God. You know, these men were struggling with many confusions in their life about what was happening around them. You know, what happened to this Jesus? He was supposed to come and be a political savior. Now he's gone. He died and he's not to be found in the tomb. Where is he? What's happened? There's a lot of questions that people are having. They're discussing these things. Well, we need to be in a place where we can hear the word of God. I have a pastor friend, Sam, and we were at his church a while ago, and he said, before I even open up the scriptures in the morning, he said, I don't even start reading till I've spent a good amount of time of prayer, and I really sense the presence of God with me. Like Jesus sitting beside you this morning, you know, as we started to realize he's right here, and what's he got to say to me today? And 1 John 5:13 says, these things are written that you might know that you have eternal life. So that's a long look at the end, isn't it? But actually, we know that life begins immediately when Christ comes into our heart. We have that eternal life within us. We don't fully understand it, and we yearn for it as we look ahead. I was at a graveside service yesterday and met another pastor friend whose daughter is close to death with cancer. He said maybe a couple of weeks. And he said she called the other day while I was driving, and his wife was with him. And he said, you know, she was just speaking how her mother died about 4 years ago, and that's when this cancer began with her. And so as they're talking, she's talking to her dad, he said, and she's rejoicing that she's going to go home to heaven, to be with her mother, to be with the Lord, to be with others who have preceded her. And he said it really was a wonderful conversation. Here my daughter is close to death, and she's got the joy of the Lord within her, with her strength, as she prepares for this. And he said, my wife said to me when I hung up the phone, I've never really heard a conversation like that before. She said, to think that she's so close to death and she's looking forward to it. And, you know, what a testimony it was to her, but what a joy it was to this dad as he thinks about his daughter's illness. Well, these things are written that we might know that we have eternal life. You know, it takes care of the now in our life for the not yet, right? And all the things, I think 2 Peter maybe, chapter 1, talks about getting all things we need for life and godliness, right? Covers the whole thing. And it comes through Jesus and through the word of God. You know, if we lose every other book in our life, there's one book we should really hold on to. 66 books here, and everything we need for life and godliness. I have a dear friend who, you know, when I was back here in January with you, I told you I had two friends who were near to death, and they've both gone home with the Lord. But my friend Fred, they've had tremendous struggles through their life. Their daughter, 7, 8 years ago, had meningitis with encephalitis. And it's really a miracle that she pulled through it and lived. And she's come a long ways, but, you know, still struggles with a lot of things. But their house burned down about 2 years ago. And they were away, fortunately. And for the first time, this friend, they go down south to a bluegrass festival. And the wife and this daughter, Christine, went with them. And I saw Christine after the house burned. And that house burned. I tell you, the chimney went with it. It was so hot, and everything totally destroyed. But Christine, with a smile on her face, and just has a very simple, sweet faith. You know, with a smile on her face, she said, "You know what? I'm really happy. I had the one thing I really need with me, my Bible." And she just lives in the Word. And this young lady who has been through so much in her life, she's just grateful for each day and spends her time reading that Word that, for her, she said was the most precious thing that she has. Well, why do we need it? Romans 10:17 says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." And, you know, I guess in some ways us pastors have our favorite stories, and some of you have probably heard this here from me before, and know that I spent a good part of my days as a chaplain, director of Christian ministries in a Christian retirement community. And it was loaded. I went there as a young guy, really, about 32 years old. And my expectation as I was going there, all these believers who were living there, 75% of the people, I think, knew the Lord at that time. And I'm thinking, this is going to be just like a little bit of heaven. You know, well, I learned quickly that as a young guy, I couldn't understand. These people had been in church all their life. They'd been leaders in their churches. And yet they had a real ignorance when it came to the Word of God. Just really familiar things that I would think people would know. They just, and it wasn't because they were forgetting things. A lot of these people were still pretty sharp and keen, but they just didn't have a handle on the Word of God. And so as I ministered there for many years, my observation, I used to keep a little file in my drawer called Observations from the Back Pew. And I would write these things down. I kept notes about this because I noticed that the people who came to Bible studies, the people who stayed around for morning devotions that we conducted each day, people that spent time personally in the Word of God, when they came to the struggles in life, they could hold up pretty good. The other believers, so it's, you know, those who were believers, proclaimed Christ, that didn't take the time in the Word. They didn't come to worship that often. They didn't come to Bible studies. I don't know what they were doing on their own, but when they came to struggles, they didn't do so well. And it was really noticeable to me, those who rested in the Word and those who didn't made a difference. So Paul says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In John chapter 5, I'm not going to read these verses, but 31 to 39, Jesus is speaking, and he's talking about John the Baptist and enlarging upon that. And anyhow, the basic message says man can witness and give insight. But the final message is, but until we hear the message of Jesus and meet him and recognize him as that living Savior, there's no burning fire within. Something's missing if we're not in the Word of God. Because, you know, this, my grandkids have been in Awana programs. And if you know anything about Awana, those kids memorize scripture like crazy. I think one year my oldest grandson had memorized 70 verses. And I said, you know, Jacob, I said, I know I could come and ask you to give me a verse and you might not remember it today. But that's okay. Because what you'll find, and as a pastor, you know, I'd go to the hospital visiting, and I remember walking down hallways and just saying, Lord, you know, I don't know what I'm going to find here in this room. Can you just prepare me with a verse of scripture or a way to minister to this person? And several times, a verse of scripture that I didn't even remember I knew would pop up and come forth. You know, so I tell the kids, just memorize. I don't know if we do that much anymore in our churches. You know, put that Word of God in your heart, and when you need it, you know, somewhere way back there in the subconscious, God, by His Holy Spirit, can raise it up and bring it up to minister to us. Well, as these two disciples walked, Jesus opened the scriptures to them. Their faith was built up. And by the end, they knew who was with them. And we're going to see that they didn't keep that to themselves. So the Word of God will meet us where we are in our journey, where we are in our walk through life, and also through the circumstances that we find ourselves in. And help us to rise above those circumstances. You know, it says in Ephesians, we're seated in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus. That means we have a different look at the world around us, doesn't it? And, you know, whether you bring scripture to us, a song to us, as I told you, those simple messages and songs, he can minister to us. And a lot of those songs in those early days were built on the Word of God, you know, and came with me through my days anyhow. But God will meet us. And he will burn, because he's burned that word into our heart, it will minister to us. And it must have grieved our Savior's heart to find a lack of faith and understanding, even in these two men as they walked along. And it wasn't any mistake that he ended up with them, was it? You know, I always like to comfort myself that no matter what's going on in my life and the world around me, God already knows all about it, you know, and he knows what we need. And he knows what we're facing, even the worst of times. He's there and understands and can be there to help us along. You know, have any of you been watching The Chosen on YouTube? If you haven't, you should turn to it. It's really a wonderful presentation of Jesus and the disciples that he called. And it gives a backlog of who these men were before Jesus called them, and really kind of sets up a picture different than we sometimes think about. But these men were struggling through, as these two guys on the Emmaus Road couldn't fully understand and grasp. And Jesus is just revealing himself more and more to them. Well, the longer these two men spent with Jesus, more was revealed to them. Their eyes were opened, it says in verse 31. And the Bible was the way of understanding. That written word was what they needed to hear, but the experience was the living word. You know, so the knowledge was there, and then experientially it was through Jesus that they understood that word. And we really are never going to understand this fully unless we have a relationship with God through Jesus. Only then does his Holy Spirit really open up that word to us. I believe he uses that word to give us understanding of our need for Christ. But beyond that, without him, it's hard to really understand and grasp. But once he's there, and the longer we spend with him, the more and more that you and I come to understand. And John 15, if you read in that chapter, it speaks about the importance of his words abiding in us and we abiding in him, and the importance of spending time in that word of God. And there we'll find the truth, the life that he says he is. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but through him. Well, he who has a burning heart not only receives that word of God, but is refined by that word of God. Now, they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened up the scriptures? And as he did so, something was working within them and within their heart, within their lives. It sort of brought them out of the doldrums they were feeling as they started their walk. Things began to change. I think they probably began to look at their own selves as they walked, and you know where their faith was and what they needed to do in their own lives, that they needed to learn to look to the Word of God and to the Scriptures. In Malachi 3:3, it talks about a refining by the way, it talks about purifying, moving the impurities out of our life. And, you know, the dross, I guess, when we think of metal, that which is impure. But God's word will do that by the work of his Holy Spirit. And the grace of God working in our hearts, working through his word, will inflame us within to want to also take care of any sin problems in our life. You know, Psalm 119:11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you." Well, if we listen to his word, you know how it is. You can read the same passages of scripture over again and they speak differently to you. And one of the things I enjoy about my retirement time is not having to be in a hurry in the morning, you know, to want to read a bit of the scripture and to pray and get to work, had to do devotions for the community early in the morning. But I really just enjoy getting up and easing in the day and being able to spend time in the Word. And really asking the Lord to remind me of things that still need to change in my heart and in my life so that I can be more and more pure in that walk and that relationship with him. You know, pastoring, I don't know how many years, but a long time, I figured it out. You know, do I become perfect? No. Still, I think the longer I go, the more I see how the imperfections are there. And but it's, I just enjoy that time in God's word, not having to have to be in a hurry. It's really a special time because I know he wants to, that verse in Malachi 3 talks about refining and purifying for righteousness sake. And the priests were not in the best way when they were going to worship and offer their sacrifices. And there were other things going on in their lives that needed to be changed. And it was a change for righteousness, for being right with God. So we find forgiveness and cleansing as we allow the fire of God's presence to burn its way into our life. And as we draw closer to him, he certainly makes his presence known. I read an illustration called Petrified Hearts. And it says there are six great forests in the 94,000 square mile Petrified Forest National Park within the Painted Desert of Arizona. Anybody know anything about that park? Hey, you've been there. Okay, great. It says virtually unknown till the late 1870s. This old, they give a lot bigger million years than I'd like to think about in my understanding of scripture, but they say over this 135 million year old stone trees, they had been killed by natural processes and deeply buried in mud and sand that contained silica-rich volcanic ash. The logs became petrified as the mineral carried into the wood by groundwater replaced the wood cells. Eventually, the surrounding material eroded away, and the petrified logs and fragments and chips of varied colors became exposed. The stone is of such hardness that it will scratch all but the hardest alloy steels. And the thought at the end here is, I wonder how long it takes unconfessed sin to petrify our hearts so that we no longer feel the Holy Spirit's touch. You know, if we don't deal with it and let God's word speak to us and the Holy Spirit speak to us, it gets easier and easier to accept the things that we even know we shouldn't accept, but harder and harder to give it to the Lord and to find that cleansing and that cleaning, that refining that we need within. So when we receive God's word, we're refined by God's word, then the natural thing that we see here, the result is to go out and to reveal God's word, what he's been speaking to us, what he's been doing in our heart and in our life. We see these two men doing the same. There's a Psalm 39:3 that says, "My heart was hot, hot within me when I, and then I spake with my tongue. And my heart was hot within me. Then I spoke with my tongue. Well, when our hearts are burning or aflame with God and we've experienced that living Christ within, we can't help but report what happened. You know, what happened at Christmas, you know, that we celebrate Christmas. We think about those angels coming down to those shepherds. You know, they knew something was different. They go to see baby Jesus. They rejoice. They glorify the Lord. And what do? They leave and they can't keep their mouth shut. It says they told everybody what they saw. The disciples, they started speaking to one another. And the last chosen that we watched was Philip going to Nathanael and inviting him to come and to see Jesus. And he says, you know, how can anything good come out of Nazareth? Come and see. You know, we read in that scripture this morning, come and see, come and hear, Psalm 66. But this is kind of their big thing now, you know, a shirt that's got bold letters, come and see. And but we can't help but tell others what God's doing in our heart and in our life if he's burning that message into us. And when he reveals himself to us, we just want to reveal it to others. These two men in Emmaus, you know, they went out and, you know, verses 33 and 34, it says they rose up that very hour, returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11, those who were with them gathered together. And they're excited. They get in and they said, the Lord is risen indeed. And he has appeared to Simon. He's alive. He's well. He appeared to us. You know, we didn't recognize him. But then he sat down and he had a meal with us. And then he broke the bread. He had communion with us. And we knew that Jesus was right there with us. Well, they wanted to bring confirmation to those that needed strengthening with their trembling faith. They also want to bring comfort to their sorrowful friends. So your experience as you spend time in the Word will encourage others. When I was at my ministry, at one point the Lord just put this phrase in my head, and I can't tell you today whether I read it somewhere or it's actually my own, but I thought, you know, my ministry really needs to be, our ministry as chaplains, there were a few of us there, is to evangelize the sinners and encourage the saints. And, you know, if we're reading God's word, we can be that one, maybe with a friend, a family member, that evangelizes the sinner that needs to know Jesus, or we can be that one who encourages the saint that just needs an encouraging word from the Lord. Well, let me end with this. I knew this was in another Bible this morning, and I just grabbed it. It's from the flyleaf of D.L. Moody and Billy Sunday, preachers way back in our history. But each of them had this printed and carried it with them in their Bible. It says, the Bible is a beautiful palace built up out of 66 books of solid marble, the 66 books. In the first chapter of Genesis, we enter the vestibule, which is filled with the mighty acts of creation. The vestibule gives access to the law courts of the five books of Moses, passing through which we come to the picture gallery, the historical books. Here we find hung upon the walls scenes of battlefields, representations of heroic deeds, and portraits of eminent men belonging to the early days of this world's history. Beyond the picture gallery, we find the philosopher's chamber, the book of Job, passing through which we enter into the music room, the book of Psalms, where we listen to the grandest strains that ever fell upon the human ears. Then we come to the business office, the book of Proverbs, where right in the center of the room stands facing us the motto, righteousness exalted the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. From the business office, we pass into the chapel, Ecclesiastes, or the preacher in his pulpit, and thence into the conservatory, the Song of Solomon. With the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley and all the manner of fine perfumes and fruit and flower and singing birds. Finally, we reach the observatory, the prophets, with their telescopes fixed upon near and distant stars and all directed toward that bright and morning star that was soon to arise. Crossing the court, we come to the audience chamber of the king, the Gospels, where we find four vivid, lifelike portraits of the king himself. Next, we enter the workshop or the workroom of the Holy Spirit, the Acts of the Apostles, and beyond that, the correspondence room, the epistles, where we see Paul and Peter and James and John and Jude busy at their desks. And if you would know what they are writing about, their epistles are open for all to study. Before leaving, we stand for a moment in the outside gallery, the Revelation, where we look upon some striking pictures of the judgment to come and the glories to be revealed, concluding with an awe-inspiring picture of the king himself. And then we hear the sounding of the seventh trumpet, when the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall rule forever. Well, a different look at the scriptures and walk through, but covers everything, doesn't it? And so, you know, I would just encourage you, you know, if you don't have time, if you struggle to try to read the Bible in a year, you know, I sometimes have trouble with that, and I've just decided I don't have to do it in a year. You know, I can take as much time as it needs. You know, if you're busy and you can only look at a little nugget, you know, one script, read till you find something that speaks to you, and maybe write it down quickly and bring it with you to work or school and just pull it out and look at it and memorize it maybe and let God speak to you through the day. But stay in God's word, because it's the thing that will sustain us, build our faith, help us to deal with life, help us to deal with godliness, and Jesus himself, alive and well, will be there with us. His Holy Spirit will teach us, and we'll come to understand the things that we need to know and how to put those things to work day by day in our life. Well, we're going to turn to a closing hymn and close in prayer. Red hymnal.